I got a telephone call this morning. I picked it up, and somebody said, "He is alive." No, they said, "He is risen." And I said, "And he is alive." And they said, "Forevermore." They were wanting somebody else in the house, but I thought that was sort of neat to hear that, you know, on Easter and Resurrection Day. And the people are out there, and they're celebrating Jesus Christ is risen. Well, it's so good to see all of you out in the house of the Lord this morning. I guess he must have blessed you in some way during the year that you came out to bless Resurrection Day. How many of you are so glad that Jesus is alive? And how many of you know if he wasn't, we wouldn't? Amen. Because he is our source in all things. And you guys can go back to the office. All right. I was going to have communion this morning, but I decided not to. So they were waiting to pass now. How many of you know that God wants to commune with you, talk to you 24/7? He so loves it when we sit down to talk to him. And isn't it wonderful when you're just doing, just to say you're running a vacuum, and all of a sudden God starts talking to you. You're just out of the blue. He just starts talking to you. He might give you a prophetic word for somebody. He might just say, "Yeah, I really do love you." He just starts talking to you. And when he does it, he just encourages you to keep on going. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. What is going on inside of you? That's what makes the difference. Are you really connected to God where you can hear his voice, you know, and then keep on going no matter what's going on around about you? Just keep on going, because God is truly in total and complete control. Alan, do you think you could tell them what you told me about what's going on with Israel?
On Tuesday, which was still Ramadan, the IDF, Israel Defense Forces, went into the Temple Mount.
Wait a minute, can you all hear him? No, we cannot hear you. His microphone sounds muffled, doesn't it?
How about now? Better? So on Tuesday, which was Ramadan, the Israeli Defense Forces went into the Temple Mount and dispersed people within the mosque, not once, but twice, which is about the greatest thing that you can do against a Muslim. And then Wednesday, Lebanon fired 100 rockets, which is in the north, into Israel. The Iron Dome got most of them. And then also in the south, Gaza fired about 20 of them. The people in Gaza, the Palestinians, the ones in Lebanon were Hezbollah, which is Iranian-backed. And the military people think that this is like a probe. They're firing on both fronts to see how Israel will respond. In the meantime, there's a American nuclear submarine steaming towards the Mediterranean right now, also a big aircraft carrier. So we just have to keep Israel in prayer, because the enemy's trying to blow everything up there. So let's just remember them in our prayers.
Well, Brett, you were shaking your head, yes. Can you sum up what they just said?
Yeah, I've seen that, and I didn't know about Hezbollah attacking from the south, but basically that's the enemy trying to destroy God's chosen people and the land of Israel. And it's very important to keep that whole region up in prayer, so that, one, God's people are safe and protected, and then two, so that this doesn't escalate into a nuclear confrontation.
Is this bringing Bible prophecy to pass?
Yes, there's if there is going to be a Psalm 84 war or 83 war, I can't remember which one, this really could be the kickoff to it. Because there's a lot of Arab nations that are getting in on this publicly.
So then what you're telling us is God's children, God's chosen children, are now being persecuted to the very depth of persecution. It's beginning in Israel, but it could come upon the land of the United States of America, because there's a lot of God's children living in America, his chosen children, the Jews. So we really need to hold them up in prayer. We really need to be listening to God's voice continually to hear what God is telling us that we have to do in order to prepare ourselves for what might come upon American soil. And one thing that you cannot do is you cannot run in fear. You have to trust, you have to be with God, you have to know that you're with God, and you have to trust him with every fiber of your being in order to make it through keeping your sanity. What a time to attack Israel in the holy days, right? I mean, you know, the devil has everything planned out perfectly. And he knows exactly when to strike to cause confusion in the camps. This is affecting young children too, right? We're sitting here in peace with our families right now, not fearing anything, but over there in Israel, they're just running for their lives. Is that what you just told me? Stop and think about this, guys. Just stop and think about this. We are in the Holy Week, and Holy Week is all about our personal walk with God. How are you walking with God? How deep are you in God? And is God really your all in all? I want you to really think about this today. Is God really your all in all? You know, Jesus was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And God was dealing with me this week that the problem with the body of Christ is we don't know humility. We aren't humble. There's too much pride in the body of Christ. And, you know, look what I did, look what I did. And even when you get a prophetic word and you know you're messed up and God's really praising you, instead of you crying and saying, God, you know, how could you say all these wonderful things about me when you know what I'm really doing, you're standing there saying, look what he just said about me. So much pride. And, you know, God knows that God knows exactly where you're at. And whenever you know that you're in sin and God speaks all these wonderful words to you, he's showing you, this is where you should be. This is what I see when I look at you. And instead of you being all, you know, full of pride and saying, well, you know, look how God's exalting me, you could fall. You could fall. And you know, Jesus was a rock, was he not? Then we can run into that rock and we can feel secure and safe. And like God told me last night, he said, there was no quicksand or any other type of sand in or around my son, Jesus. There was no quicksand or any other type of sand in or around Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I never thought of it that way. He's always been the rock and he always will be. There's a lot of you sitting in here this morning. Your lives are going to drastically change within this year that we're in, 2023 right now. Your lives are going to drastically change because God's going to come in and he's going to sup with you in a way that he's never supped with you before. I'm just telling you what God's telling you right now. And you know, it's going to be up to you whether or not you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, stay with God, listen to what God's saying, and let him change you and rearrange you. And if you allow him to change you and rearrange you, your entire life is going to be totally different. You know, God can just deliver you just like that of whatever's in your life. It doesn't take an hour of get out, get out. He can just come sweep through your life and just deliver you totally and completely. All right? So don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. But know one thing, that God knows you. He wonderfully formed you in your mother's womb. And yes, when you came out, the enemy got a hold of you and did some crazy things, but that doesn't mean that God is finished with you. All right? You know, God knows your heart. And God is constantly looking at your heart. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. He's looking at that heart. And then he starts talking to you. You know, like this morning, I was reading a prophetic, no, I wasn't reading a prophetic word, reading an email somebody sent me, and all of a sudden God gave me a name, and I knew he was going to give me a word for that person. So I hurried up quick and got a page to write the word down. A beautiful word for that person. What I'm saying is, this is how God talks to you. You aren't sitting in his presence. You aren't sitting there waiting, God, let this fall, or say, you're just doing something totally different, and God just starts talking to you. That's how you know you're a true child of God. That's how you know that you're walking close to God. Because he knows your every move. And how many of you, if you're prophetic, sometimes when God speaks to you, say, God, I'm just really not worthy right now. I just done something really stupid. And here you are talking like I'm the best thing that ever walked the face of the earth. Haven't you felt like that at times? And see, God knows you're going to do all these dumb things, you know. So don't let the enemy tear you down. Somebody in here, you're just letting the enemy tear you down. You need to quit. You know, God's able to change your life. He's able to change the situations around about you. And he said, what he wants to do most is to answer your heart's prayer. The prayer that you're praying from the very depths of your heart, not from up here in your mind. He wants to set you free from all that junk that the enemy's placed within your mind, in your will and your emotions. You young kids sitting in here, you know, the reason why we don't take you upstairs is because you're old enough now to be used by God. And God is using you young kids just like you to do signs, wonders, and miracles all across America. So why don't you just go ahead and just say, I give in, God. Here I am, just use me, Father. And let him use you instead of allowing the devil to use you. Or even allowing the devil to keep you in bondage. Just give in. I give up, Lord. How many of you that are really walking with God have said that to God? God, I give up. I've been fighting against you for so long. I just give up. And this is what God wants you to do this morning. Say, God, I just give up. I just give up. I'm just throwing myself at your feet. I say that even today, you know, there's many times I say, God, aren't you? I'm trying to deal with something and I can't deal with it. You know, it is not working. And finally I'll say, God, I give up. It's all yours. And just let him have it. And guess what? He fixes it, doesn't he? But first of all, we think we have to do our little thing, don't we? Somebody here needs to hear this morning. Quit trying to do your thing. And just give it to God and let him have it. That's what he went to the cross for, so he could take care of your troubles. So his blood, if we're going to talk about his blood, so his blood could set you free. You know? Aren't you glad that God has said that he's going to set the drug addicts free in a wink of his eye? How many of you have a heart for the drug addicts? I just said this morning, come to church, trees, I'm so glad that I'm not in bondage. Because that's a terrible bondage. But God said he's just going to sweep through and just, with his wind, he's going to sweep through and just clean a lot of that junk up. And you can say, here I am, Lord. Let the wind hit me this morning. Let the wind push all that junk out of me. Set me free. And watch and see what God does for you. Yeah, I'm hearing God say, you aren't so bad that he can't come in and wipe your slate clean. Amen. Come on, rise up with inside. Fight the enemy. Rise up with inside. Say, all right, devil, you've done as much damage as you're going to do. Now you're done. And then walk in that freedom. Walk in that freedom. I don't care what the devil's doing to you. The blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary is greater than anything the devil could ever do to you. I want to hear you guys run around saying, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood. And when you say that, the devil can't stand it, and the devil has to get away from you because he does not want to hear it's about the blood. Some in here this morning needs to hear that too. You want to scream something, just scream, it's the blood, it's the blood. All right, come on. We have weapons of warfare that we're not using. All right, the blood in Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. What makes the atonement? The blood. The blood of Jesus. That's why he went to the cross, so we could be free. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for every soul that came out here this morning. And I really don't know what you're doing, God. So, you know, we just have turned this service totally and completely over to you. You run it any way you want to run it, Father. And Father God, we thank you that your son did hang on that cross. But we thank you that he is not on that cross any longer. But his blood still carries power and authority. And we thank you, Father, that your son Jesus is seated at the right hand of you, and he is forever interceding for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you know that it is what Jesus did when he rose back to heaven? He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you and I. And I know one thing. I know that I'm alive today because God said, Jesus said to his Father, he said, Father, don't pay attention to her today. She's just off course a little bit. She's on her period or something, you know, whatever. You know, and so, you know, and he intercedes for me, keeps me safe. Do you understand that? I mean, whenever you go off kilter, don't worry about it. And Jesus is watching over you, and he's telling the Father, she's okay, or he's okay. Just let them go, and he covers you. Some of you don't believe that Jesus covers you, and he does. I've heard people say, I should have been dead a long time ago. You don't really believe that, or you'd be serving God. You know, I hear you saying that, and you're out there serving the devil. So if you know you should have been dead a long time ago, well, then serve Jesus and be a witness for him. Amen. All right, the devil has a deep, abiding hatred for the things of God, especially the blood of Christ. He fights against the truth when it is preached under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He especially fights hard when we preach on the subject of the shed blood of Jesus. This is what God spoke now. My children, during this season of much devastation and heartbreak, you must always remember the blood of my son Jesus and apply it to every circumstance you encounter. That precious blood shall prevail throughout every storm that you encounter in life. When my son and I brought forth this plan, all we had in mind was your freedom in every encounter of life. You are precious to the Godhead, and one day you will sit in heavenly places with your Father in all of heaven. For now, you must stand your ground, and you must know who you are in me at all times. The enemy has devised many plans to tear down my kingdom authority, but I have devised a plan also, and that plan involves my vessels of honor that are serving me from the very depths of their hearts. His what? His vessels of honor that are serving him from the very depths of our hearts. Not lip service. Has to come from the heart. Has to come from the heart. You know, one thing I learned many years ago is not to judge the outward appearance of a person, but to allow God, to ask God, show me the very depths of their heart. Show me what's really going on deep down inside. And whenever you do that, you won't judge anybody, because God will speak to you and tell you what's really going on down in here. And then you'll know how to pray for them. I really believe that we'd have more people sitting in the house of God if we wouldn't be so judgmental. You're listening. You know, God is the final judge of all things. All right, then he says, you are one of those vessels of honor that my son shed his blood for. You must understand that blood has more power and authority than any blood that has flowed through other vessels. All right, you must understand that blood, means Jesus' blood, has more power and authority than any blood that has flowed through other vessels. The blood that flowed down Calvary's hill has all power and all authority. You can call upon that blood for all things, and the blood will cleanse. Please, from this day forward, use the blood of Jesus, and the enemy will flee. I've been standing around people where the devil's really carrying on. I'll just keep saying, it's a blood. It's a blood. It's a blood that's covering this. Next thing I know, the person's calmed down because the devil doesn't want to stay around the blood. And we know the devils come and the devils go in a person. We know that. And so whenever you apply the blood and the devil leaves, then he'll wait till the one that applies the blood leaves, and he'll come back into the vessel they just left. But if the vessel that has the demons learn to apply the blood, they can set themselves free. Isn't that right? Brother Chris told me he was reading an article about Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall said you can't talk the devils out and counsel the devils out. You have to just get them out. And the blood of Jesus will cause them to leave. All right, the reason for the cross was for the atonement for sin, and the blood was shed for all infirmities that you would ever encounter. You see this? It would be safe for you to say that the blood is the atonement that will last forever. The blood of Jesus is a new covenant between me and mankind. You know, God told us we were going to go through a Job experience, right? And so we started into a Job experience. And the other day I said, I just thank God that God didn't give me boils. You know, some of us have infirmities that we're working through, but thank God we're not covered with boils from our head to our toes. That would be the worst thing in the world. So quit complaining about your infirmity that God is allowing to be in your body, because he's going to take it away when you quit complaining about it. And when you quit wondering about it. Right? What did Job finally do after all his... I started reading about Job again. I said, I quit. The final thing is that when he quit thinking about himself and started praying for others, God took this infirmity from him. So maybe what you need to do is just quit focusing on yourself and, you know, and just focus on what's going on in other people's lives and pray for them, and then God will take your infirmity away. I don't know, but that's how I feel after I read Job, right? Some of you look at me like she is plain crazy. All right. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. This has an important lesson. This is what it says in the Living Bible. This has an important lesson for us today. For under the old system, gifts and sacrifices were offered, but these failed to cleanse the hearts of the people who brought them. For the old system dealt only with certain rituals, what foods to eat and drink, rules for washing themselves, and rules about this and that. The people had to keep these rules to tide them over until Christ came with good news in a better way. He, Jesus, came as high priest of this better system that we now have. He, Jesus, went into that greater perfect tabernacle in heaven, not made by men, nor part of this world, and once and for all took blood into that inner room, the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. But it was not the blood of goats and calves. He took his own blood, and with it, he by himself made sure of our eternal salvation. You know, in the Old Testament, they took goats and different animals, went in and gave the blood. But Jesus came and he shed his own blood on that cross, even before the cross. And verse 13 said, and if under the old system the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of young cows could cleanse men's bodies from sin, just think how much more surely the blood of Christ will transform our lives and hearts. His sacrifices frees us. His sacrifice frees us from the worry of having to obey the old rules and makes us want to serve the living God. For by the help of the eternal Holy Spirit, Christ willingly gave himself to God to die for our sins, he being perfect without a single sin or fault. Christ came with this new agreement so that all who are invited may come and have forever all the wonders God has promised them. For Christ died to rescue them from the penalty of the sins they had committed while still under that old system. You know, when it said Christ willingly gave himself, how many of them animals do you think willingly wanted to be killed? I think about things like this when I'm reading the Bible, you know. But Jesus, he willingly, you know, gave up his life. There's some of you sitting in here, God said, you have to die to yourself so I can use you, and you aren't willing to do that yet. You haven't willingly given up your life. I'll hold on to this, God, and you know, in a little bit here, and I'll give you this, but I'll keep this. See, you aren't willingly giving the things to God that he wants. All right, the blood of my Jesus speaking. The blood of my son Jesus is a weapon of warfare that my children never use. I've asked my children to use all the weapons in my word, but for some reason they never think of the blood as a weapon. From this day forth, I want you to never forget the power in the blood of my son Jesus that ran down Calvary's hill. In this blood lies all power and all authority, and in this blood lies the weapon that defeats the enemy at every turn. God said, hold fast to what you have, little ones, and know that my son Jesus did not hang on that cross in vain. There was a plan and a purpose for everything he went through, and you were always on our minds as we made the final plans of redemption. God says you need to take the glorious message of the blood to all that you meet. Do you know that there are those sitting in the house this day and this hour that have never heard of the healing powers of the blood of my son, Jesus? I'm expecting you as vessels of honor to take that message to a lost and dying world and church. If my ministers would only teach and preach the truth, there would be so few souls in hell at this given time. You hear that? My church needs to turn their focus back on my word and the truths hidden in my word, which is the cross and the blood are right there in his word. But we overlooked that. About a year ago, God said, if only my children would look in my word and use every weapon of warfare that I have in my word, they would never be defeated. And there's so many things and weapons in the Bible that we don't understand and we don't use them, so therefore the enemy always has a little bit of a open door to get into our lives because we don't know every weapon that's in the word. Wisdom is a weapon. Discernment is a weapon. Are you seeing what we're saying? My church needs to turn their focus back on my word and the truths hidden in my word. The cross and the blood are right there. They are not explained in parables. They aren't. He talks very plainly. Everyone that reads the word for themselves should be able to understand every word in my word. This resurrection time is time to reflect on the cross and all it accomplished for you and your descendants. As you meditate on this aspect of my word, you will draw deep from the wells of truth, and you shall receive the revelation knowledge all have need of in this given dispensation of time. Let me ask you something. How many of you understand right now that you're sitting in this house of God this morning because God wants to make a leader out of you, or you are a leader, and God's going to use you in this dispensation of time to bring the lost to his footstool? He's going to use you with great signs, wonders, and miracles. And you're going to have to use the blood of Jesus in order to do this. It's very, very, you know, if the blood didn't mean anything, then why did Jesus go through everything he did? I have a teaching about the seven ways he shed his blood, and I am going to teach that. But guys, you don't understand. This is what God is saying to you. You don't understand in the fullness of what God truly is going to do with your life. You don't understand it. And he wants to explain all this to you. And he's saying in your private time with him, if you'll just get alone with him, he will explain to you what he's really and truly doing with you, even when you don't understand what he's even doing anything. How many of you think, God, what good am I for you? Because you don't see anything going on around about you, do you? You just think, I'm just there. But see, that's not the truth. I've been going through this, all right, for the last 6 months. That's not the truth. And God's just drawn me deeper and deeper into who he is and really what he's doing with me. And even though I don't see anything happening right now, God said, I'm working behind the scenes, and all of a sudden I'm going to bring it to the forefront, and then you're going to understand all things. And I know that I'm not the only one that's going through that. You know, my two grandsons, we cleaned the bedroom Friday, and we got into an argument, and things went out of control. And I said, I got to go preach Sunday. And I just did all this. You know, but you can't not do God's work just because, you know, three people got in the flesh and words got out of control. You have to keep moving. I said, God, just pour a whole bucket of blood over my tongue. You know, but you don't really need that. But, you know, I get so upset with myself. Don't you get upset with yourself when you do something dumb? When you allow the enemy to come in and, you know, and just make you act like you shouldn't be acting. And then the devil laughs, look at you, hypocrite. You know, I hate that word. And I don't really think too much of the people call you that either, because I don't see them, you know, giving their life for God. They're just waiting for you to mess up, so they can call you hypocrite. So don't allow that to bother you either. They're not fighting any battle that you're fighting. You know, the devil will fight who, if you're really close to God, the devil fights you 24/7. He doesn't give you any rest whatsoever. He's constantly there in your face trying to get you to stop. All right, God said the church focuses on candy and baskets when they should be focusing on the cross, my word, and the reason. This resurrection time should be foremost and utmost in your hearts and minds. The church has grown cold and indifferent to this portal that is open to them. They have lost all hope simply because everything is starting to look bleak and lost. But did I not tell you to place your eyes upon me and keep them upon me, and I would take care of those things around about you? Isn't that a hard thing to do? It is. It's a hard thing to do. And let's just be honest with it. And right now in this dispensation of time with all the crazy stuff that's going on, it's just really hard to hold on tight to God. You have to keep yourself covered in prayer constantly, or the enemy tries to pull you off course. And about the time you just sort of pat yourself on the back and say, boy, I'm doing pretty good, here comes the enemy. He uses one of those people and puts them in your face, you know, and there you go again, right? You know, you have to be honest. You are not dead. And you are not perfect. And right now, I never thought I'd ever have to fight like I'm fighting right now to survive. But the devil's out there, and he's strong, and he knows how to do his work. And he's doing it very well, isn't he? Mass confusion is settling in all across this mighty nation, and my church does not have the power to encourage a hopeless generation. Why? You know, do you ever think to yourself, God, do I have any power left? You know, have I, stepped over the threshold somewhere and lost it all? Do you know, I think that sometimes. Because, you know, the fight gets fierce. And like I say, he's so relentless. Wouldn't you just like to take and sock him in the nose and put him in a cage and throw him in a river somewhere, you know? Just let me alone. If it isn't one thing, it's 10 others. At 3 o'clock this morning, the little baby kitten decided, I'm going to tear the bedroom apart. You know? I said, if it is one thing, it's another. The enemy doesn't want to give you any rest. Don't get a kitten. Okay, because the power is in the blood and we have no power, and this is why. Because the power is in the blood and they have not connected with the truth of the blood. Children, when it all settles and you truly see what I have been trying to get across to you, it will be too late. Look what he said. When it all settles and you truly see what I have been trying to get across to you, it will be too late. So please, guys, don't let it be too late. You know, just keep fighting. Just keep fighting. Don't quit. Don't sit down. Just keep fighting. It's worth it all in the end, really and truly. How many of you have to keep telling you that yourself that too? Like Paul says, you know, you have to keep reminding yourself. I don't know about you, though, but I wouldn't want to go the way of the devil in no way, shape, or form. Even though I have to fight it continually, because it's constantly in your face. And I'm hearing God's thing saying things are going to get better. I mean, going to get worse and not better. But that scripture, if you can't remember the footman. God told me that a year ago. When I was having one of my Lord, can I do this thing? And that is the truth. If you can't win the battle right now, how are you going to really win it when it really is raging around about you? See, right now you're like in a boot camp, and God's trying to teach us how to fight. And if you give up in the boot camp, you're never going to make it, any further. And the enemy's going to have you for supper. You really need to get this in your spirit this morning. There's people in here that you really need to get this in your spirit this morning. The enemy would love to take you out. But you're so macho, don't allow him to. Amen? Come on. You know, women do this too. Look at me. I'm just all that and some. And let the devil come. They give in to the devil every time, don't they? So let's just prove that we are all that and then some. And put the devil under our feet where he belongs. Children, when it all settles and you truly see what I have been trying, I read that. Please abide under the shadow of the Almighty this morning. And please use all the weapons of warfare I have supplied you with. Discernment is another weapon of warfare. You must be able to discern the times and seasons you're in. You must be able to discern the wheat from the chaff. You must be able to discern what is truth and what is false. You must discern without a shadow of a doubt that you are mine and the enemy has no place within you. I'm just going to use Ruthie here. You know, she came into the church messed up. And God gave her a powerful word the other day about what he's doing with her. And I sat and I cried. I said, you know, God, you know, you send us these babies. And, you know, we think, oh, God, here's another one. Let's be honest, you know. And then you watch the babies grow. You know, and God, you have to get off the milk and get onto the meat. And finally they get it and they get on the meat. And you just feel like a proud parent, you know. And I feel like that with Ruthie because she's been through hell and back more times than she cares to go. But God has been so gracious to her. And you watch and see what he does with her. She's not the only one, but she's sitting here grinning at me, so I just thought I'd single her out, okay? All right, God said, children, that house you live in does not have a welcome sign posted for the enemy. This is your house, right? It does not have a welcome sign posted for the enemy. The only ones welcome into your house is my son Jesus and the Holy Spirit of truth. Just don't allow the enemy to come in. That's not as simple as I say it, but it's workable, or God wouldn't tell us to. And it's a fight. It's a fight every day. And a lot of people say to me, I don't see how you do it. Well, it's a fight. And some days, you know, I just feel like just saying, God, I'm done. You know, and just quit. But I know if I say that and I quit, I might go to hell. And I've been there, and I don't want to live eternity in there. And then also there's souls out there depending on me. So I have to keep on going. Every one of you in this room, there's souls that are assigned to you for you to minister to. And if you decide to just quit and lay down, those souls could be eternally lost. So every time you feel like you want to quit, just think about how many souls might not make it to heaven. It doesn't matter what you have to go through. You have to go through it. Okay, we were talking about no welcome sign, and then we said to the devil, we said, Jesus and Holy Spirit should dwell there. Anyone else is an intruder and must be evicted immediately. Since when did my son die in vain? If you say he did not die in vain, then why do you keep acting as if he did? Don't we do that, guys? We act like you know what God did means to happen. It's not funny, but you know, I have to laugh because we are really a bunch of funny sheep, dumb sheep. You know, we lead our own self to slaughter because we don't trust our Master Jesus. Walk in the light while it is still day and accomplish all the works I have set before you. 1 John 1:6-7. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. What purifies us? The blood of Jesus. One of the things my son did was made sure he accomplished everything he was assigned to accomplish. He left nothing undone. Can you say that about yourself? I want you to take time to do an inventory check on yourself during this resurrection time and make sure you are on top of your assignments and you are completing all that you were assigned to accomplish. How many of you, God's given you an assignment? And, you know, and after a bit, you say, God, you know, I can't do this. This thing is too hard. And you don't do it. You just walk away from it. You never finish that assignment. God may make you go back and finish it. So you might as well finish it when you're there the first time around. You know, is have to go back. That would be terrible to have to go back. Then you have to fight the devil laughing in your face and everything else. You'd have to fight extra hard, you know, to get him out. Some of you in here, you don't have a fight in you. And God wants you to get that fight and stand up, stand your ground, destroy the enemy in your life, and then you help other people be set free. Come on. It's, you know, all right, the truth is the truth. But now, children, I am surely with you, and as long as you stay close to the cross, you will not falter nor will fall along this path I've set your feet upon. The truth is the truth, and there's no lie in the truth. My word is yes and amen, and there's no lie in me. If you don't know anything else this morning, get this truth into your spirit, man, and keep it there, and do not deviate to the right nor to the left. I am surely your mainstay, and I will remain your mainstay as long as you are walking this earth. You are my children, and I take care of my own. See, people don't believe that. You don't believe you're a child of God, and you don't, that because you don't believe that, you don't believe that your Father can take care of you. That is why the enemy can constantly come and bombard you. And then God went on to say, keep in mind that my son is not in the grave. He arose, and he is sitting at my right hand, ever interceding for all of our children. And Romans 8:34 says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You know, in this room today, there are leaders that don't know it. And God has placed within you his self. And he's trying to bring himself out of you. In other words, bring everything he is out of you so that you can walk in power and in authority and authority and do the works he's calling you forth to do. And God, and then God's saying, yeah, do you not know that all sinners are saved by grace? And he, and God's saying he wants you to fellowship with him continually, just not every now and then. You know, you can be constantly fellowshipping with God and not really saying anything with your mouth, but you have him in your heart, you have him in your mind, and you know, as you go about your day, you don't even realize that you're talking to him. You know, you're not talking out loud, but you're silently talking to him. And then then you realize he's talking to you and giving you direction and how he wants you to go. Come on. Why can you not work for the Father? Why are you saying that what Jesus did at Calvary was not enough for you? You know, I don't know. Whenever you read the word, you think of all the things that goes on and how they went about doing it. And, you know, if you have a mind that wanders like mine does, it thinks of all different kind of things. And then I had to bring my mind back, you know, because it can get away from me. But, you know, God is God. And Jesus is Jesus. The Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit. And they all three abide within us. And you older people sitting in here, why do you say, God, now I can sit down and rest? No, you can't. Because God needs the older people right now more than he ever needed you. And so don't hang up your hat yet, your retirement hat, because God is getting ready to use the older people greater than he ever has. And he needs all of us. He needs all of us. All right, Jesus said here, and you scroll down a little bit. Remember, John the Baptist came preaching repentance and telling about my son Jesus. My son Jesus came preaching repentance and telling all about me and my love for all humanity. Now it is your turn to go forth preaching repentance and telling all about the love of the Father, the Trinity, and the angelic Mary. This is love walk time. This is the dispensation of time when my love will be seen and shed abroad all across this mighty nation. Everybody's upset because you hear pastors preaching about repentance. That is what it's all about. It's all about saving souls. You know, when I worked, I made a really good income, and then God asked me to quit after I started preaching, and, you know, the church doesn't pay me. And it took me 6 months to really agree to God that I quit, and because I knew I was going to go down to poverty level, all right? Then God said to me, he said, if you'll quit, he said, and work for me, he says, I'll write a bigger paycheck than the world will. I said, well, I can go with that. I don't get a paycheck. You know what the paycheck is? Souls. He's going to use me to save souls. It's not about money. It's not about big houses and big cars. It's not about having 1,000 heads in your church. It's all about saving souls. And if you're going to save souls, you're going to have to die to yourself. You got to get rid of all your flesh. You're going to have to get rid of all your plans. And you're just going to have to be. Just be. It's that simple. But to some, it's very complicated because you don't know how to just be. God wants to know what your problem is. That young, you're right there. He wants to know what your problem is. He wants to know why you constantly question him and why you just can't submit yourself to him for who he truly is, which is your Father, your Savior. Son, I do abide under the shadow of the Almighty with you, and I do speak to you. Even in your desert trials that you go through, I am speaking to you. But son, your ears are clogged with the things of this world, and you're not hearing me clearly as you ought. Now, I'm looking at you this day, son, and I am saying to you, quit. Quit this dumb stuff that you go through. And son, just encourage yourself in me and stand tall and go forth and bring the lost into my house. I have called you to preach my word, but your feet are dragging, and I want you to quit dragging your feet, and I want you to stand for righteousness' sake, and do what I'm calling you forth to do. Son, you have so much potential with inside that you're not allowing me to bring to the forefront. Now, I want to bring that potential to the forefront, and I want you to use you to bring. Do you understand, son, how many fall into the abyss every day because people like you are dragging their feet and they are not hearing about my son, Jesus, and the blood he shed? I'm not chastising you. I am wooing you, believe it or not. And I'm asking you to come forth this morning and do my bidding and bring those lost souls into my kingdom. I will not pressure you. I will be with you. I will lead you, guide you, and direct you because you think you have everything under control. But when I'm finished, you're going to understand you don't have anything under control. But son, I do have a great mighty works for you. I am calling. Are you listening? Thank you, Father. Charles Spurgeon once said, many keys fit many locks, but the master key is the blood and the name of him that died and rose again and ever lives in heaven to save unto the uttermost. The blood of Christ is that which unlocks the treasury of heaven. And God constantly says to me, never forget the blood. And one day I was down there ministering to somebody, and God whispered, never forget the blanket of blood. So, boy, I use this. You know, a blanket's better than a drop. I wrap everybody in a blanket of blood. And I just know when I do that, they're all protected. The enemy can cause your feet to run as much as he wants, but eventually that blood is going to consume and you won't run any longer. I'm hearing God say, today is a highlight in your life. Today is the day that he wants to resurrect you from yourself and resurrect you into the mighty power of Jesus, his son. And God is saying to you, can you withstand the wiles of the evil one? Can you stand tall and firm and fight and go forward? Or are you weak and feeble, and when the enemy comes after you, you stumble and you fall? The blood will make you strong. The blood will bring you through. Brad, God was saying to you this day, son of mine, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I formed you in your mother's womb, and I brought you forth. Yes, the enemy has had a heyday with you, son, but it's my turn now. The tables are turning, son, and you will do the things that I've called you forth to do. For my blood is sufficient, son. My blood is sufficient for all things in your life. Take my hand right now, son. Let me stabilize you. Let me bring you forth in my might and in my power. And let's you and I walk this dusty road that's out there. And let's bring in the less fortunate. Let's bring in the lost and the dying. And son, I will use you as a witness. And you will use your testimony to witness to the people how good your God is. Son, no longer will you run from the blood, but you will run to the blood, and you will win every battle. Be encouraged to stay and look up, for I am looking down upon you, and I'm keeping you safe from all harm. The enemy can no longer steal, son. The victory is totally and completely yours from this hour forth. I'm going to open up the altar right now. For those of you who really and truly want to understand the meaning of the blood of Jesus, and you really and truly want to start using it the way God wants you to use it, with its full power and full authority.